Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
If you'd been sucked in that floodlit room in Dave the Speed Freak's flat, you'd have seen the scars for yourself. Dave the Speed Freak was one of the original old school Mancunian clubbers. You should have seen him. He was thin, he had false teeth in, and he dressed like Starsky in Starsky and Hutch. Do you remember Starsky and Hutch? It was a Saturday night and I was in my local pub in town. It was just before closing time and Dave came over. "Barry, do you fancy coming back to mine to do some speed?" Back then, I was injecting heroin and speed loads of times every day. So this was a no-brainer. I'd never been to Dave's before, but I knew that he lived in Beswick, which is just outside town. So we got in my car and we drove to Beswick. When we got there, he slapped the dash. "Stop here, I live just over there." So I stopped and we pulled up in the middle of Fort Beswick. Fort Beswick was a massive concrete streets in the sky housing estate that they built in the 60s. But now it was all derelict. All the windows were boarded over. There was no lights on anywhere. There was graffiti all over the place. I thought, he can't live on there. "Come with me." We got out of the car and I followed him into one of the dark staircases into this big block of flats. It was pitch black. I could hardly see. I'm thinking, where's he taking me? We walked up all these stairs right to the top floor. Then we walked down this walkway past all these front doors to near the end. He stops, gets the key out and puts it in one of the doors and opens it. This is where he lived. "Come in, Barry." We walk in. He turns the light on. This was the only light on the estate. "Dave, why are you the only one living here?" "They're knocking it all down and I've told them I'm not going anywhere." He takes me into this little room. "Wait here, Barry, it won't be a minute." He goes out and comes back in. And it got changed. Now he's wearing a cratty suit, a white skull cap on the back of his head, and orange slippers. He got dressed up for the occasion. We got the speed ready. "Come on, let's go in here." He takes me into this other room, his living room. You should have seen it. All it had in it was a little settee and a big executive office chair that was slap bang in the middle of the room with a massive spotlight hanging over it. I sit on the settee and he sits in the chair. He then reaches down to the side of him, finds that switch and flicks it, and that bright spotlight came on. And it lit up the room and the rest of Fort Beswick. You should have seen his face. He looked like a floodlit Jack Nicholson in that classic horror film, The Shining. Under the skull cap on, "Here's Johnny." He took his speed and I took mine. And that spotlight was so bright, man, I'll never forget looking at my arms and the backs of my hands and seeing all the scars that were there through injecting loads. Some are still there. I see these now though as my battle scars. I don't know what happened to Dave or how long he ended up staying on Fort Beswick for. But I do know that going back to that floodlit room in Dave the Speed Freak's flat reminds me of my battle scars. The online dictionary says that a battle scar is a wound suffered from battle. Do you know? It's not just me who's got battle scars, is it? No, we've all got them of one kind or another because we've all been in some sort of battle that's left us with a scar. Some are visible and others aren't. Do you know which ones I mean? So what can we learn from our battle scars? Here are four lessons for you to walk away with. Number one, battle scars prove that you can stay standing. If you would have met Jeff, you'd have liked him. Jeff was mixed race He had really short hair and a neat handlebar moustache. He was a bit of a villain and he worked at a nightclub in Moss Side called the Reno. Jeff was 11 years older than me. He'd been on the scene for years. So I knew who he was. In fact, most people did. He was well respected. I bumped into Jeff quite a few times when I was out and about. So he kind of knew of me, but we didn't really get to know each other until we did a jail sentence together. That's when we became really good friends. We first started getting friendly when we were on remand in Strange Ways Prison. In those days, you got one shower a week. Once I went down to get my shower and Jeff was there and he had his towel wrapped around his waist. We got chatting and then I clocked his stomach. There was a massive chunk of it missing. Jeff had broad shoulders and a bit of a pigeon chest and a tight stomach. So when he walked with his chest out and his belly in. I didn't know that this was partly why. You should have seen it. It was full of twisted scars. Jeff, how did you get them? I got them when I was working on the door at the Reno. I got into a battle one night outside with a load of white kids and one of them smashed a pint pot and rammed it into my stomach and twisted it, and then he said I could hardly keep myself up. But then this guy stepped in to help me out, so the lads legged it. I was in a right mess, but as bad as it was, I didn't want to go in a hospital because I didn't want to involve the police. So I stitched it and tied up the best I could, and it left me like this with all these scars. These were just battle scars. Battle scars that proved he'd stayed standing. See, battle scars prove that you can stay standing. What about you? Are you in some kind of battle right now and you feel as if you can't keep yourself up? Listen, God can step in to help you out. Same as that guy did with Jeff. You see, Jesus is God with skin on. He died on the cross, he rose again, and then he went to the place where his followers were. And a guy in the Bible called John tells us that he said to them, look at the scars on my hands. Look at the scars on my side. He showed them his scars, his battle scars. And they didn't need to have a bright spotlight on to see them. They looked and they saw them firsthand. Imagine that. And these battle scars proved to them that he'd stayed standing. Listen, if he can stay standing after that battle on the cross, he can help you stay standing in your battles. Whatever it is you're battling with, he can get you out the other side. So you've got battle scars that prove you've stayed standing. Going back to that floodlit room in Dave the Spree Freak's flat reminds me of my battle scars. Battle scars prove you can stay standing. And number two, battle scars can stop you going back to the fight. If you'd have been in that prison with me when I was speaking that day, you'd have heard the lad ask the question at the end. Barry, what stops you going back to your old life? I said a few things really, but one of them is my battle scars, because when I think about how I got these, they stop me going back. See, battle scars can stop you going back to the fight. When I think about how I got my battle scars, just those left inside, I think about that time in our flat in Hume. I'd been speeding off my head on amphetamines for months. You should have seen me. I was 3 stone wet through, and that was with my Bjorn Borg feeler tracksuit on. I'd just sit in the corner making house music using the bits of recording gear that I'd set up, with my head sandwiched between my two carnival-sized speakers that I'd made. Non-stop. If you'd lived in Hume, you'd have heard the bass line coming from my flat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can see why I ended up in a mental health hospital. And then I think about the time when I thought the Iranian guy who lived above us was watching us through the crack where the wall meets the ceiling. He's spying on me. So I got some wood and I nailed it all the way around the top where the wall meets the ceiling like a skirting board. Bang, 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 can't see me now. And then I think about that time when I got remanded in custody. And I was saying to all the officers, boss, 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 God's called me, boss. God's called me, I'm going to be a famous DJ. You can imagine what they were thinking. This guy's a nutter. They put me on the hospital wing, do you blame him? And then I think about that time in prison, on the exercise yard, instead of walking round with the lads, I'd sit in the middle with my legs crossed, my fingers touching and my head shaved bald at 22, thinking I was Buddha. Nobody had come near me. Do you blame him? And that was me that looked like Jack Nicholson in The Shining with the bald head. Here's Barry, stay away from him. And these are just some of the times that come to mind. They were others. And it was these crazy drug-induced times that left with battle scars inside. Is it any wonder? I'm just so grateful that I'm alive. And that my mind is functioning normally. Well, my wife might tell you different. And yes, I've got battle scars in there, of course. But it's thinking about how I got these that stopped me going back. Listen, battle scars can stop you going back to the fight. What about your battle scars? Just flick the switch to put that bright spotlight on so you can see yours. They could be like mine, but it's more likely that they're not because you've been on a different journey. So you've got yours from something on that. Listen, in whatever way you was left with yours, those that's been left inside of you somewhere, thinking about how you got them can stop you going back. Listen, battle scars can stop you going back to the fight. Maybe you keep going back and your battle scars are like open wounds because you keep licking them. Listen, you need to let God step in to help you out. A guy in the Bible called Isaiah said, do not dwell on the past. Listen, you don't have to keep going back because with God on your case, you can get to that place where your battle scars stop you going back to the fight. This happened with me and it can with you, but you need to let God step in to help you out. That's up to you. Going back to that floodlit room in Dave the Speed Freak's flat reminds me of my battle scars. Battle scars prove you can stay standing. Battle scars can stop you going back to the fight at number three. Battle scars can motivate you to move forward. Jackie's did. She told me if you'd been there, you'd have heard her. Jackie was a skinny, wiry-haired drug addict who was working as a sex worker on the streets. Jackie got attacked one night when she was out working. She said, I got picked up by this Polish guy in a car and he took me to an house that was about 5 minutes away. We walked through the door, then walked into the living room and there were two other blokes sat in there. So I sat on the settee and lit a cig. But then they all started talking in Polish. It made me feel dead uneasy. I thought, sack this, I'm off. So I got up and went to the door to get out and it was locked. He locked me in. The next minute, the three guys came rushing out, grabbed hold of me and dragged me back into the room. You can imagine what happened next, Barry. It was horrible. Then she said, what they did to me that night, Barry, left me with battle scars. I had so much pain inside after what they'd done. But that was it for me though. Enough was enough because that's when I knew that I had to move on. So I went into rehab and that's when God stepped in to help me out. See, it's as if a bright spotlight came on and she saw her battle scars which motivated her to move forward. Listen, battle scars can motivate you to move forward. What about you and yours? Is this the time for you to say enough is enough so that you can move on from them? There was a guy around in Bible times called Paul. He had lots of battle scars. He'd been there. He'd worn the t-shirt. He said, forget what's behind and reach forward. Listen, you need to decide to move on. Your battle scars can motivate you to move forward. Jackie's did. But are you ready to say enough is enough and to let God step in to help you out? That's up to you. Going back to that floodlit room in Dave the Speed Freak's flat reminds me of my battle scars. Battle scars prove that you can stay standing. Battle scars can stop you going back to the fight. Battle scars can motivate you to move forward. And number four, battle scars can prompt you to take a better route. One time I had an MG Mini Metro. Do you remember Mini Metros? Well, mine wasn't just a Mini Metro. Mine was an MG Mini Metro. You should have seen it. It was lime green on the outside and bright red on the inside. It had polished alloy wide wheels, a small sports style steering wheel, and a 6-inch big bore exhaust. I'd ripped through our estate, blasting out tunes, turning heads. You can imagine I looked like a cross between Smeagol and Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious. Early hours one morning, 7 of us took a load of magic mushrooms, because it was mushy season, and we piled into my MG Mini Metro, and we set off down the road to find a rave. We were following a searchlight that we'd seen in the sky from our flats. That's not the usual way to find a rave, but hey. Got on the motorway then after a bit of thought. There's the rave, it's over there. So I came off the next turning, drives down this road. Oh no, it's not here. I got onto this other road, drives down that. Still, nothing there. Got onto this other road, drives all the way to the top of that one, still no rave. 3 hours later, I'm still driving down these little roads. I looked up to the sky for the searchlight. It was dead faint. We were miles away from the rave. I said, guys, we've taken the wrong route. That journey in my MG Mini Metro that night mirrors my life. I'd taken the wrong route. I was on it for 15 years. And then one day, my battle scars, those outside, prompted me to take a better route. If you'd been there, you'd have seen how it happened. I got invited to church, so I went. They were banging tambourines, waving flags around. I'm thinking, these guys were all basket cases. I came in here to get away from people who were on drugs. The guy who was speaking, after he finished, he said, we believe in a God who can heal. Is there anybody in this room with any issues? Is he having a laugh? I've got more issues than Vogue. If you want to be prayed for anything, come to the front. I thought, what have I got to lose? So I got out of my seat and I walked to the front. What can I pray you for, young man? How long have you got? What time do you want to be out of here? So I told him, I'm a heroin addict, I've been for 15 years, I'm on 55 mils of methadone, and I also hear voices, I suffer from amphetamine psychosis. He said, okay, I'll pray with you, and he put his hand on my head, I'm thinking, what's he touching me for? And he started to pray, and as he started to pray, I had a light bulb moment. That's when God stepped in to help me out. I walked home, walked through the front door of my flat into the bedroom. I took my jacket off and rolled my sleeves up and I looked at the battle scars on my arms and the backs of my hands, and then I held my arms up towards the sky and I said, God, you're alive. I don't want to live my life this way anymore. I want to live my life a different way. I want to live my life your way. See, on that day, the switch was flicked. That bright spotlight came on. Then my battle scars prompted me to take a better route. Listen, battle scars can prompt you to take a better route. What about your journey? Have you taken a wrong route? Whatever kind of wrong route that is for you, it could be that you've not taken a wrong route, but you want to be on a better route than the one you're on now. Listen, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God became a man. And yes, his name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. And he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted. Then at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross to take the rap for you. He died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, your flaws and your failures. He died on that cross so that he can wipe your slate clean and so that you can take a better route. There's a proverb in the Bible that says when you submit to God, he makes your path straight. Listen, you need to give God consent to come in so that he can step in to help you out. If God was a burglar, he'd wait for it to go dark and he'd come and he'd try and kick in the back door of your life. If he couldn't kick in the back door, he'd try and kick in the side door. If he couldn't kick in the doors, he'd try and jam you in through the windows. That's if he was a burglar, but he's not. See, God will never try to break into your life. He will only ever come in through the legal entry. The legal entry to my house home is the front door. The legal entry to your life, my life, is the will. It's our will. That's the front door. And he stands at that door. In fact, he tells us in the Bible that I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears me and opens the door, I will come in. See, he'll never try to force his way in, because he waits for you to open the door. He waits for you to give him consent to come in. And when you give him consent to come in, that's when he steps in to help you out. Listen, battle scars can prompt you to take a better route. But are you ready to let God step in to help you out? That's up to you. I'm going to land this now by taking us back to that Saturday night when I was in my local pub in town. Dave came over, invited me round to his. When we got there, he got changed. We got the speed ready. We went into his living room. I sat on the settee and he sits on the chair. He then reaches down to the side of him, finds a switch and flicks it. And that bright spotlight lit up the room. And I'll never forget looking at my arms and the backs of my hands and seeing all the scars that were there through injecting loads. These are now my battle scars. Listen up. Listen up. Wherever you're watching right now, God has stood outside your life and he wants to come in. He's standing and waiting for you to open your door. He's waiting for you to give him consent to come in. My question to you is, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask two groups of people to pray this prayer with me. The first group, those of you watching, wherever you are, those of you watching, and you've never prayed a prayer where you've given God consent to come in. The second group of people are those people. You have prayed a prayer at some point in the past, but you know that right now, you're not living how God wants you to live. Listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation for you. That's clear. So what I say to the second group, if that's you, pray this prayer and get back on track. And God will forgive and forget. And then you can just crack on with the rest of your Christian journey. So they're the two groups. Those people, you have never prayed a prayer before. You've never given God consent to come in. First group. The second group, those who have, but you're not living how I want you to live. So you're going to pray this prayer to get back on track. And there's a third group. It's the Christians watching. You might be with somebody right now who's going to pray this prayer for the first time or for the second time. So can you pray it as well to encourage them? Here we go. Repeat this prayer phrase by phrase after me, please. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for my faults, for my flaws, and for my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean, because right now I'm opening my door. I'm giving you consent to come in, because from this day on I want to take a better route. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.